saw that in the deal last week. Also, the Bible wasn't open last week either, so you know, that's important.
God's word was pretty slow.
That's right. That's right. What a blessing to be here, and want to welcome those of you that are just now joining us on our YouTube channel. We so much appreciate you worshiping with us. Those of you that are listening in on our website, thank you as well. And thank you that are here live and in person. It's a great joy to be here, great joy to have a dear, dear friend, a dear, dear brother, Brother James Gregers. Brother, come preach to us.
Thank you, sir. Get your Bibles out. Acts chapter 1. I think that brother was trying to steal my sermon. He's a gospel thief. Watch him. It's a privilege to be here. I appreciate the opportunity. Lord willing, to head back home tomorrow. And we'll see what the Lord's going to do down the road. It's been an interesting ride so far. I'm sure it's going to get more interesting along the way, brother. Amen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. If you pay close attention, you'll find out this is the fifth time that the Lord gave his disciples this great commission. All five of these occasions, it was after his resurrection, but before his ascension. Now, I'm probably going to get in trouble here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Many believe that the church was formed on Pentecost. I do not. Don't get aggravated with me, all right? The first thing he says here in verse 8 is, but ye shall receive power after, underline it, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. At the time he was speaking to them, he did not have, or they did not have, the power to carry out that great commission. They had something to do and didn't have what they needed to do it. As soon as the Holy Ghost came upon them during Pentecost, they were able to do as he had commanded them. Now, after the Lord Jesus gave the great commission, he told them to tarry until something happened. Now, I've not fallen off the wagon, all right? Just hang in here. What was it that they were to do, and what were they to wait upon? Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And this happened at Pentecost. He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now come back to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 33. Words do matter. Acts 2 and 33. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Now, who was that? Huh? It was the Lord himself, right? Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Now, as you read this verse, you can see that the Lord Jesus as the glorified God incarnate human being, man, as Lord and head of the church, received this promise from his Father. This verse in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost explains to us Acts chapter 2, the verses 1 through 6. Now let's pay attention. Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Praise God, that'd take the Holy Ghost, wouldn't it? They were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, men of every nation, underscore it, men of every nation under heaven. And I might intercede here and interject here. The Great Commission was to take the gospel to all the nations. All right? So now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, I'll take you back to Acts 1, verse 8. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The Holy Spirit was given on Pentecost to empower the church to fulfill the Great Commission. A part of that divine enablement was to speak at that time to people of all languages, and this is what happened on Pentecost. A part of that endowment came, and this is what happened at Pentecost. Now, don't get mad for me for meddling just a little bit. That's a big highfalutin word, meaning I'm going to mix into something. I know of no modern tongues movement that does not have to send their missionary candidate to a language school. They do. They can jump and hoop and holler and spit and blow all they want to. I'm just telling you, they all have to send their missionaries to language school. The Bible is our only rule of faith and practice. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The word prove means to put it to the test. And you put it to the test with Scripture, with the Bible. A person who is operating according to the truth will welcome a scriptural test of what he's preaching. Has no problem with that. If he gets upset when you question him, then something's wrong. Amen. Had somebody waltz into my office down in Franklin, Louisiana, trying to get a work going down there. Waltzed in and said to me that he could heal folk. I said, praise God. I've been waiting on you. I said, please heal my eyes. I've been wearing Coca-Cola bottles since I was in the first grade. Oh, you're just trying to tempt God. I said, get out of my office. Amen. Not much of a Christian. Well, that's true. The Holy Ghost will enable one to convince the hearer that he actually witnessed the message that he's preaching. This is one of the reasons that when one was chosen to take Judas's place, one of the qualifications was that he continue from the baptism of John until the Lord was resurrected and ascended. Go back to Acts 1. Acts 1:21. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and went out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. These witnesses, now I'm trying to get somewhere, all right? These witnesses had been eyewitnesses to all of it. With the power of the Holy Spirit, their message was now believable. Now, one of the most difficult things is to come over there as a nappy-headed, knot-headed South Alabama redneck and go to a place like Austria or the Principality of Liechtenstein and to get anybody to pay attention to you at all. We think we speak English. We don't. We speak American. And over here, you speak Texan. That's a horse of a different color. So you better have God do something to get them to listen to you. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and all and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, the word uttermost means the farthest, most distant point of or remote point of any particular place. And the commission still stands today, my brethren. It is the reason for your being here in Burton, Texas. The Great Commission is the only reason, only validation for your being here this morning. If you're not fulfilling the Great Commission, you ought to nail the door shut or make a honky-tonk out of it. All right. Better listen to me. How can we be witnesses and so fulfill the Great Commission? Well, you can tell people what happened to you when you got saved. Now, the emotional side of our experience may vary. Therefore, please do not judge your experience by that of another. Let me illustrate. Somebody says, boy, Heidi, when I got saved, I felt like I was floating on air. And the room lighted up all around me. I know I am saved. I had this wonderful experience. Well, somebody else sitting in the same room said, well, I didn't have that. Didn't happen to me. Didn't happen to me either. On the Sunday I got saved, the room didn't light up. Matter of fact, well, maybe it did a couple of times with the lightning because, I mean, he preached me into hell for a long time. You with me? But I sure didn't float on air. I felt like I was sinking into the pit. It was not a pleasant experience. If you go down here to the hospital and ask any doctor, they'll tell you that the birth experience is not only traumatic for the mother, most especially for the father, but it is very, very hard on the baby. Now, assurance of salvation does not come because your feelings match the testimony of somebody else. The Word of God and faith in what it says is the basis of your assurance. When you witness, you need to tell people of how you came to see your need of salvation. And it will probably begin with your conviction of your sinful estate, not what you had done as much as what you were, a sinner. And how that Jesus died as your substitute on the cross. And how he lives now as the only mediator between God and man. And he needs to know, this person that you're talking to needs to know that the Lord Jesus will save him if he'll ask him. The thief on the cross is a good one. Or the Ethiopian eunuch is a good one. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I'm trying to drive a nail, brother. I'm still driving this one. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, another way to witness is through your missionaries. That's another way to witness. The most of you will probably never get in an airplane and come to Austria. I doubt very much most of you will do that. Now, you're perfectly welcome if you don't all come at the same time. But, I would imagine that most of you will not. So how are you to fulfill the Great Commission? It's a command. It's not a request. So how are you to do it? Well, you better hire some boys to help you. That's what it amounts to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Think of that. Think of that, that God would allow us to be his co-laborers. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Over in Philippians chapter 4, Philippians 4:17, Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So, really, the truth of the matter is that you folks are loading up on rewards because you had the good sense to send somebody to Austria. You couldn't go, but that knothead, he'll go. Send him. Good idea. And it works. It works. The verse has to do with the Philippian support of the Apostle Paul as a missionary. And what he says to encourage them is, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This definitely means that those who support a missionary will share in the rewards of that missionary at the judgment seat of Christ. Our efforts to reach the world with the message of the Lord Jesus Christ would be absolutely impossible apart from him. You need to have somebody that's stupid enough to go and knock on the prime minister's door in the principality of Liechtenstein and ask his secretary if Walter is there. And the secretary thought, well, he must know Walter. So she went in and said, James is outside to see you. You understand? And so I went in and she brought a big tray of tea and cookies, which is always good. And she closed the door and went out and closed the door. And I'm sitting there with the prime minister of the country. He looks at me and I look at him. I'm wearing a Bell telephone jacket. Now, and he looks at me and he said, I don't know you, do I? I said, nope. He said, what are you doing in here? I said, I need a visa so I can preach in this country. He said, you never would have got in there. I said, hey, that's exactly. You need somebody that stupid. You understand? You folks are not that dumb. So you sent me. That's the way it works. Now, television is a wonderful medium. Thank God for you folks tuning in. I hope you don't get ruined. But television is a wonderful medium. Radio is a wonderful medium. The printed page is a wonderful medium. But there is nothing that takes the place of a man and a woman, or a man or a woman, talking one-on-one with someone and telling them about how they got saved. That's what I do. It's not like I get a five-point message together and run down on the street and blow a gasket. I don't do that. I find somebody who has the time and maybe the willpower to hang in there for about 15 minutes while I tell them what happened to me. That's called witnessing. Lord Jesus did not only train his chosen men in good Bible, healthy Bible doctrine, but he gave them on-the-job training concerning the methods that they were to use. Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says there in Romans 1, 8, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." Now, I'm sorry he only had one picture of my flagpole, and it was the day the flag wasn't flying. Right at this minute, in Graz, Austria, on the flagpole outside my house, is the Texas flag. It is. It's there. Why? Well, I have appointed myself to be the consul general for eastern Texas and southeastern Texas in particular. You know, we have every kind of illustration that you would need in order to overcome our human rationalism in the Bible. Illustration. 3 million Jews walked dry shod through a path that God created for them through the Red Sea. And what does science do? They scratch their head and try to figure out a way for that to happen. And so they come up with what I call the sandbar theory. You know, they said that from one side of the Red Sea to the other side, a sandbar built up there, and 3 million Jews walked across that sandbar and got on the other side. Now, can you imagine Joshua and Caleb listening to that professor teach that lesson? Can you imagine that? What a mess that'd been. I mean, the Bible makes it clear that they were in a cavity, a crevasse, or whatever you want to call it, going across the Red Sea, and on both sides of it, they could probably see the catfishes. It was walled up, hemmed up, and I imagine a bunch of them prayed, "Lord, don't let the dam break." And I guarantee you, if you could dig Pharaoh up or get him up out of hell, if you ask him about it, he would say it had nothing to do with a sandbar. You understand? Just trust in the Lord. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part." We need to ask ourselves something this morning. I don't care how old you are or how young you are here, if you profess Christ, if you are saved, my friend, you are to be a witness. You don't retire from witnessing. It's not done. Now, if God puts a muzzle on you, that's something else. If he locks your jaws and you can't get out, but then you'll try to do it with your fingers. I mean, talk to Simeon. You'll try. You'll do your best to do it. You need to be a witness. How much are you telling of experiences that you're constantly having with God? When's the last time you told that unbelieving friend of yours about the last time God answered your prayer? When God answered your prayer about your health or the health of a loved one? or in the passing of a loved one and how God carried you. When's the last time you did that? I'm telling you, you need to be a witness, and if you've been saved, you should do that every day. Can you imagine some scientist trying to talk to somebody about a sandbar theory? Are we living close enough to God to be a witness? Now, I have the same problems you do about it. The only difference between you and me is I'm just plug stupid. You with me? I don't know no better. I don't know that a king doesn't put his britches on the same way I do. And the Lord has allowed me to be in king's houses. A king. I'm talking about a real one. I ain't talking about somebody on TV. And sit down at his table and have food with him and tell him about how the Lord saved me. Believe that. Won't go with me? You can come with me if you want to. How the Lord has opened up doors like that, just too stupid not to know any better. Or, if we're not witnessing properly, we're probably talking theologically and rationally and trying to convince them how smart you are. God won't help you. You're on your own. When you talk to them about salvation, you need to say, this is how it happened to me. Show them a verse. The first man I won to the Lord was a name by Billy Herty. Billy Herty had lived in that little village for 42 years, and they still thought he was an outsider. Kind of like East Texas. And Willie came over and knocked on my door, and I'd heard all these war stories about how mean these people were and how they were going to cut my head off and feed me to the dogs and what a terrible place they were. And I admit I was intimidated. We'd been up living up on the side of a mountain for several weeks. Nobody had come and knocked on the door and said how happy they were that we were there. And Willie came one day and knocked on the door. I couldn't understand him, didn't know the language. And he knocked on the door and just made motion like that. It was the first time since leaving the States that I had sat in an automobile. He put me in this Volkswagen and down the road he went. I did not know where we were. We were new. I had no idea. And he pulled out on the interstate, and I said, oh, my God, he's going to take me out and kill me. And then he pulled off on a little dirt road between corn patches. And I said, I'm going to die right here. I'm serious. I'm going to die right here. And I done drawed back, done cocked back with my right hand. I want to knock him out and get out and run, but I didn't know how to get home. So I'm ready to knock him out, and bless your heart, he turned around to me, tears streaming down his face, and he said in broken English, can you show me the way to God? Why are you asking me? I can't speak this language. I don't know what to do. I reached in my pocket, pulled out an old Luther Bible, a Testament, cracked it open, got a pocket dictionary out of the end of my left hand, and I'd point to a verb, and I'd point to a verse. Point to a verb, and point to a verse. And after a while, old Willie Herty struck gold. After a while, he was shouting and hollering and jumping all over that cornfield. And I was thanking God I had a ride back home. You with me? Amen. That's right. That's right. We need to find out how to talk to somebody about how the Lord did it with you. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And here's the best part. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Isn't that something? Imagine Satan having to run from a puny man like me. Imagine it. Why? He's not, when you're doing what God told you, the way God told you to do it, he's not dealing with James, he's dealing with Jesus. That makes all the difference. Do you know the Lord on that level? Do you? Know him on that level? If not, I challenge you this morning, before this service is over, say, Lord, I want to live for you on that level. I want to be able to talk to the lady at the cash register. For all these people were cussing about, and I understand it. Lord, I want to be able to talk to them too. Lord, I want to be a witness. I'm going to help a missionary get there to do it in Liechtenstein or to do it in Austria or to do it in Germany, Zimbabwe, or somewhere. But I'm going to do that same thing right here. That which I am requiring of my missionary, I'm going to do right here. The Bible promises us, if you shall receive power, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, he did at Pentecost. He's here right now. And he's speaking to somebody right now about something. Would you stand with me for a word of prayer? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the gray temples I'm looking at. I thank you for the youthful glance, the sparkle in the youth, the younger families. I thank you that you're at work in this place. Lord, help us to take it outside the walls of this. Tell somebody else about it, even today. Help us to step out today by faith and do that very thing. Become a witness.